My guest today is Jacob Jedrzejczyk. Jacob, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. What do you do?
So I work on the Azure Management Portal, which is one of the largest single-page applications in the world. It's written in TypeScript. There's over 500 engineers working on this.
Just 500 engineers just on the portal?
Just on the portal, just on the front end.
Wow.
Without the back end.
Wow.
Because if you take into account the back end, you're going to a number something like 10,000 people in total across Microsoft.
Oh, my gosh. Are you all like in one room, one big cubicle farm?
No, we are spread all around. Like my team in particular is doing the core of the portal and the framework. And on top of the framework, other teams, for example, SQL or a virtual machines team or Docker team, they're building their services. And they are spread all across Microsoft. Depends, you know, what service they're building.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about what the portal is first. So you can get to it from, is it portal.azure.com? We'll take you right to the portal.
Yes.
Or I always tell people azure.com, which is, I think, azure.microsoft.com.
Yeah,
which
Azure
gets you in there.
Yeah,
Azure, that is a link to the portal.
Yeah, azure.com is our like marketing website where you can get the free trial to get started. You get like something like $200 for a month to spend. But from them, there you can get to
the portal. And there's a link to the portal at the top of that one. Okay, so what is the purpose of the Azure portal, first off?
To manage your Azure resources, websites, virtual machines, your cloud services, mobile services, and all other over 70 services we offer there.
Okay. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's 500 people. It better be cool, I guess. but it's an impressive amount of things that you're managing there, and it's an impressive amount of JavaScript and HTML5 that's going on there. Tell me a little about the tech behind it.
Yeah, so the Azure portal is built on TypeScript and Knockout.js.
I see.
So TypeScript is a Microsoft open source technology created by Anders Helsberg, who
created
C#.
And now he sort of Delphi too, I think.
Yes, and Turbo Pascal, yeah, and he sort of created this like JavaScript for C# developer. What some people are telling it, but actually it's TypeScript. I think about TypeScript as a superset of JavaScript vNext, because if you see like the JavaScript with standard ECMAScript 2015, 2016. TypeScript has the same syntax, and they are compliant.
Right, it has classes, for example.
Yeah. So,
but it also has strong typing.
Yeah. So this is the actual superset of the JavaScript vNext. The TypeScript adds the types, which you can use optionally. You don't have to use it, which means that you can use TypeScript as your transpiler to ECMAScript 2015 or 16, or right. Transpiler 2015 ECMAScript.
Define that word transpile.
5. Oh, transpiling. So it means because current browsers mostly support up to ECMAScript 5, which was released a few years ago. But now we are working on this ECMAScript 2015 and 2016 standards, which adds new features to JavaScript. But the browsers are not ready for them.
Okay.
So in the old world, you will have to wait like almost 5 years to use them. Or you can just transpile this code into ECMAScript 5, which will run everywhere, which means you can actually start using it today. So this is, you can think about this as, you know, transpiling your C code into assembly language, for example, to run on this sort of virtual machine, which JavaScript became these days.
So usually we say compile, and we're talking about taking code as text, as human-readable text, and turning it into binary codes. And this transpile is basically taking one type of code and turning it into another type of code.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you're taking advantage of that because it's just you have the power of strongly typed languages and ECMAScript 2016. You can code in that without being restricted to clients.
I mean, definitely in our case, building this such a large project when there's over 500 people, strong typing is very helping us.
Okay.
Because this is like the first unit test. Like, I don't know if you have seen in JavaScript, some people are sometimes doing some class dot foo not equal undefined, and when I first have seen that, I was like, what is this doing? And then somebody told me, oh, it's just checking whether this, you know, this method exists on this object.
Oh, I see.
Because in JavaScript you can do this, but in TypeScript you cannot do this call because the TypeScript compiler will detect that you are trying to call the method that doesn't exist.
Right.
So, you know, things like that, we don't have to write this test. TypeScript is doing this for us.
That's actually one of the greatest advantages of TypeScript is its flexibility, but it's also one of its greatest disadvantages is that it's so flexible that that it makes it hard to manage large, complex applications.
Yeah, because with TypeScript, you can write your vanilla JavaScript every valid JavaScript code is also valid TypeScript code. TypeScript is only the superset. So it's good. I encourage like everybody to start writing at least ECMAScript 2015. Mm-hmm. And then next to Babel, TypeScript is one of the two main players in this transpilation market.
And Babel is what?
Babel is transpiling only ECMAScript 2015. Okay. It doesn't have types.
Got it.
It's just using the standards. It's a community project. It's open source. A lot of developers are using it.
Okay.
And there was also Google's Tracer, but I'm not sure what's the current stage of that. This one is like behind TypeScript and Babel.
All right. So tell me about, I'm curious about with all these different teams, you're each writing a different piece of the portal. Is that right? Do you have one person writing the part that, or one team writing the part that manages virtual machines, another team writing the part that manages app services? Is that how the work is split?
Yes, that's sort of how it works. My team is building the core of the portal and the framework that other teams are using to build the services. We call them extensions because it's sort of like extension for the portal. Like, for example, the websites extension enable you to manage your websites from the portal.
Okay.
And the way how it works, it's totally distributed microservices model on the front end, because these days everybody is doing microservices on the back end, but we are doing actually microservices on the front end.
Okay.
And the way how it works is that different services and extensions, they are just giving us the link to their back end, and we load their JavaScript that communicates with portal through the post messages.
Okay.
And this is how they talk to the core, and we also make sure that when one of the services will have some bad code or one service crash, entire portal will not crash, and we do it thanks to this post message architecture. When, for example, one extension crash, entire portal is fine. When all other extensions are working fine, and also the extensions doesn't have any presentation layer in there. It's just pure JavaScript. We load them in separate iframes.
Okay.
So when, for example, user is saying show me my websites, we call the separate iframe for websites extension, and this iframe is saying do this. This is a data for the website, and we show it. And then once user
show it, how does the user get to see anything rendered to the browser if we're just doing JavaScript? Is it creating HTML?
So the extension is sending by the post message, is sending the message to the core of the portal.
Okay.
And this message is actually synchronization between the view models.
Okay.
Because we work on the MMVM with Knockout, and when some property of view model changes, for example, show or hide or call some callback function, then we communicate between the core of the portal and between the extension. This is it's a lot of overhead in there, but at the end it pays itself because it allows us to, for example, do not load all extensions at once.
Okay.
It also allows us to like isolate it, and all extensions also, they have flexibility. They can build their backend as they want. They deploy independently, and that means like every extension can deploy independently on us. We can deploy independently, and when you have like over 70 teams, that's a lot, because if we would try to orchestrate and deploy it one time, that would be just hard. That would take like probably a year to do some release.
Tell me a little about the testing process for this. That's a lot of moving parts that to get into a single public portal. It's got to be high risk.
Yes, that's true. We have a very heavy testing infrastructure. Starting our very first test is TypeScript. Then we have unit tests. We have also acceptance tests with Selenium.
Mm-hmm. Selenium is an automated tool that tests in the browser.
To test actual UI.
Okay.
In QUnit, we have only JavaScript tests.
Okay.
And also, on top of that, we have also C# runners that are checking whether particular backend parts of our front end are working, if they return appropriate answers when you send a request to them.
Oh.
So there's like a lot of moving parts, and on top of that, every service has to test their code by themselves. They can choose their own testing framework. They can build their own infrastructure. What we do for them, we provide them the testing framework, which makes it easier. We've built on top of C Sharp and Selenium, and now we are working also on a TypeScript testing framework with Node, which will make this testing faster. So that's more or less how it's going. And we have something like over 2,000 tests, I think, on framework only.
Okay.
Plus there are all other tests on the extension sides.
Do you find that you're pushing the limits of some of the tools you're using? Like, for example, for Knockout, was it designed to have something this complex built into the Knockout framework?
So actually for almost 2 years, Steve Sanderson, the creator of Knockout, was working with us. And he said he joined this project because he was very interested how Knockout will work in such a large scale. Hmm. And it turns out we didn't have any significant issues.
And if you did, Steve's right there.
Yeah, like he did a lot of like cool fixes that were helping us, sure. But there was no something that would block us. And when we wanted to do something, it was always a way how to achieve it with Knockout. And then we also built, on top of Knockout, we built a Proxit observables layer because Knockout has these observables.
Okay.
When like something changed, you can subscribe to it and you can be notified. And we create this Proxit observable layer on top of Knockout that communicates across different iframes and send the post messages with the observables updates across. And this works fine as well.
So I imagine that every once in a while people hear that you work for the Azure portal and they want to tell you their complaints about the Azure portal. Does that ever happen?
I'm always eager for a feedback, and we always eager for a feedback.
What's your preferred way of getting feedback? Does it call you at home at night?
Well, I would prefer Twitter if they want to be direct. But also we have a Azure portal feedback website.
What's the URL of that?
It's at aka.ms/Azure Portal Feedback.
Okay.
And there you can vote for suggestions. And if you go there, you actually can see how many suggestions were already realized.
Oh.
We already, I think, fulfill over 200 user requests.
Oh, and these are a lot of new features or things to do a little bit easier.
Yes. This is something like, because, you know, we want to have feedback for people who are using the product.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are, because you can vote for feature, you can submit some feature requests, and you can also vote for already existing feature requests. And then, you know, when we see that something has a lot of votes, we're like, okay, so a lot of people care about this, so we probably should do it. And if you go there now, even, I'm sure that top 2 or 3 are in progress.
Excellent. I see more and more that Microsoft Teams adapting that approach is kind of pushing out the priority of the features out to the actual users as opposed to the old days when we were the benevolent dictator and we would decide which features were important.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that for Microsoft Edge. I'm reporting features
more and more.
As well.
In fact, I would suggest that the Azure team, because of how rapidly they're iterating and how the features they're getting out to the public and how they're interacting with the public, they're driving a lot of what's going on at Microsoft today.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
they're changing the culture. Azure is changing the culture of Microsoft.
Yes, I mean, this is from where our current CEO is coming. Satya came from Cloud and Enterprise division, which is basically Azure.
That's a big part of it.
And we are doing a bunch of open source because that's the current need for the market. Mm-hmm. And there is no other way. We couldn't do it differently. And like today at the conference, I had to talk about different open source technologies you can run on Azure. And there is actually no any significant well-known technology that you can not run on Azure. Everything is there. You can run C#, you can run Java, you can run Ruby, you can run even PHP, you can run Docker containers, you can run Linux virtual machines, so on.
Yeah, and I sat in that presentation, a very interesting one, and I think it was a surprise to a lot of the people here because we're at an open source conference. We're not at a Microsoft conference.
Yeah.
And so the audience was an interesting one, and a lot of them, they didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I think one person said you guys cured the cancer, right?
Cured the cancer, that's
I
right.
I was like, yeah, I think Satya cured the cancer, yeah. Now we love Linux. Yeah.
Love Linux. Are you, and you have a video series, right?
Oh, yeah, like recently I started doing the video series on YouTube about the Azure portal tips and tricks.
Ah.
So if you want to learn some cool features of the Azure portal, you can go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JacobJedrzejczyk, or you can go to aka.ms/Azure Tips and Tricks. You can also find it on my blog, jj09.net. I am posting a blog post according to every video, and every video is out every week now until we run out of the features, but there's a lot, so there's a lot of to share.
Jacob, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I think these days it's very cool how technology can help us to shape the future and remove the differences between people, between us and our friends.